of God. That wasn't unanimous, but, you know, we'll take what we can get. I've got a lot of scripture tonight. Of course, Brother Craig's got the, he's got everything I gave him except one verse. And if service would have been later on, I'd have probably had three or four more verses, but I just get on a snowball. But we're going to read the verse that he doesn't have. It's in Genesis chapter 31 and verse number 13. And there, everything else falls in continuity. I was thinking about prayer, and I was thinking about breakthrough, and different people in the Bible have different ways of expressing themselves in prayer. There was no rigid formula. There was no rigid posture, if you will. You got to do this. You got to do it this way or that way. Am I right? I mean, Hannah goes to the temple with a heart just as sincere as Elijah was when he prayed on Mount Carmel. He's loud, probably, and boisterous, and he's just really ringing heaven. Hannah is quiet, just with mouthing the words. But God could hear the whisper as well as he heard the intensity. Daniel can go to his room and raise the wind up toward Jerusalem and pray three times a day, just like he did before he was threatened. Jesus can go in the Garden of Gethsemane and pray for an hour and come back and tell his disciples, could you not tarry with me for an hour? And he goes back and prays again, and he goes back and prays again. Paul says, I cease not to pray for you day and night. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you start thinking about in some of those representative roles, I find myself and you find yourself. I mean, there's sometimes you pray and you just want to scream the throne of God down into the building. And there are other times you pray like you're an orphan that you don't have a mama and daddy. None of y'all have ever done that. Sometimes you pray, Lord, if you don't hear me, what will I do? And, you know, all these things. But it all comes down to one thing. We are seeking our Heavenly Father. That's the issue right there. It doesn't matter. It's not so valuable. When you do it with all of your heart. Do you not understand that the Holy Ghost can differentiate between a sincere, heartfelt, heart-breathed prayer and just a formal sprouting of words? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 31, and we're going to read verse number 13. This is God talking to Jacob. I am the God of Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. Where thou anointest the pillar, God has got a memory. He remembers things. They're significant to him. And it's significant to me that he does remember things, because that lets me know if he remembered Jacob, he can remember me. Am I right? That's consoling. That's covenant building. Where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowedest a vow unto me, now arise. This is the key right here. We're going to start moving start some movement here. Arise, get thee out of this land. Amen. And return unto the land of thy kindred. Go back home. Amen. Now, Brother Craig has got all the other scriptures that we're going to be using, and they'll be moving to the right in your Bible. And it will be Genesis chapter 33 and verse number 18 through verse 20. And I want to talk to you tonight, after we read these verses, all the segments here, on obtaining your full inheritance. Amen. Obtaining your full. Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. He's supposedly on his way back home. He's supposed to be that, you know. How many know? He pitched his tent and he bought a parcel of land, a field. Jacob, talk to me. What are you doing buying land? That's not where God's sending you back to. Hello. You got no business settling here because you're not into your inheritance. You want your inheritance. Does anybody hear me? And at the hand of the children of Hamor and Shechem's father for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohim Israel. Keep that in mind. Chapter 31, 33, chapter 31, he says, go back home. Chapter 33, he's on his way, but he stops. Do y'all see where I'm coming from? All right, let's move to the right in your Bible, being you're so excited. And to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen for the one that's not here. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse 24 and 25. Every place, we're talking inheritance now, whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. This is God talking to people before they get to their inheritance. Amen. There shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Do y'all get that? Before you ever even get out, God is saying, before you ever enter into the place that I'm sending you, know one thing, you're going to conquer. You're going to be, I hope this is helping us out, you know. No man can be able to stand. Okay, let's move. Deuteronomy chapter 1, Joshua, I'm sorry, chapter 1. I won't mess you up, Brother Craig, too much. Verse number 3, inheritance. Every place, somebody say every place, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. We got to get that. They haven't gone there yet. They haven't arrived yet. They've not moved in and conquered yet. And God is saying, before you ever get there, I'm telling you it's yours. All right, let's go. Let's look. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. That means you got to put your foot on it. How does that relate to us tonight in December of 2016? Every place that, help me, Lord. I'm not trying to buy a piece of land. You're not trying to buy a piece of land. So what does that say to me? Let's move our mind beyond a piece of land into the promise that God gives us. Amen? Okay. Chapter 1 and verse number, chapter 14 and verse number 8 through 14 will wind you up there. Can I get a witness out there? Never. This is Caleb speaking. Full inheritance. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. You can drain somebody's faith. Caleb is talking to Joshua, and Caleb is saying, look, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people. Their conversation robbed them of their faith. Am I right? You can speak negative and cause people to fall into a rut that they'll never get out of. But listen to what Caleb said. But I, W-H-O-L-L-Y, fully, completely, totally, I followed the Lord my God. Isn't that amazing? And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now listen, this is the real icing on the cake. Now therefore give me this mountain. This is my inheritance. I'm not asking you to fight. I'll do the fighting. I'll do the conquering. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. You give it to me. Am I talking to you? Whereof the Lord spake in that day, and thou heardest in that day how Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord saith. And Joshua blessed him and gave him his inheritance. Father, do something tonight to glorify your name. Let us speak profitably. Let us speak clearly and confidently with your word. Move in a special way tonight and meet the burdens of the people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, you shall reap in due season. What's the rest of it? If you faint not. Didn't say you might. You will be rewarded. You will reap if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. This Bible is God's book of promises. Every promise in Him is yea and amen unto the glory of God the Father. This is God's word, spoken, inspired. The devil does not want, and I don't want to get all, but I can tell you, the devil is not interested in us knowing this book. We can learn the promises and quote them, but until our heart embraces them, they're not ours. Hello? They're not ours, but see, we need to understand, God lays these promises out clear and plain, and the seeker is to embrace each and every one of them. You can't just pick the Bible up, and I really want to just zero in on being absorbed by the full power of the promises of God. You can't just pick the Bible up and say, He said He'd supply all my needs. Of course He said that. But it's got to be in a deeper sense of terms than being flippant. It's like He's saying, you are saying to Him, you said. When you can bring a you said to the throne of heaven, you've got the win in hand. But you said, Shatabakayana. You could really rephrase it and say the Bible said, but it's more personal if we can just look up and say, but you said. If your back is against the wall, you can hold up, but you said, nothing shall by any means harm you. That's why it is so vital that we know these promises, that we know this Bible. Amen? Am I talking to you? We're to embrace not parts of them, not tidbits of them, but we're to know these promises and embrace them and hold on to them. He will not break His word. Am I telling the truth? It is impossible. Somebody said, what's something that God can't do? And somebody said, well, He can do everything. The Bible says He can't lie. It is impossible that He would lie. Amen? So He encourages us to accept the promises, to study them. And the great hindrance facing many people is that some of them, or so many of them, enter into the land of promise. Now, I'm not talking, my terminology tonight is a little different. We talk about the promised land, and that's Canaan, and I'm not, that's true. But in the sense I'm talking about, we're talking about the land of promises. That's crossing over from doubts and despair and unbelief and embracing the promises of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the problem with so many people is they enter into the land of promises and they are so delighted to be in the realm of the promises of God that they lose the drive to go deeper. They lose the drive to pursue. When you cease pursuing God, you are in trouble. I don't care how godly you are, how consecrated you are, how dedicated you are. Jesus, the week that he was crucified, went into Gethsemane and sought God the Father. I got some kind of sneaky feeling that if he needed to seek God and desired to seek God when the cloud was hanging low over his head, I must need to seek God. Hello? See, the great hindrance in so many people is they get satisfied. God, you saved my children. You gave me a better job or whatever the situation is, and I'm happy and I'm content. You're losing your zeal. You're losing your determination. Hello? And you got to. So they settle short of their inheritance. They don't attain to the full measure of it. Amen? And so my prayer is, God, help us to break the bondage of and the yoke of littleness. Amen? So Joshua said, every place that the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Now, when they hadn't crossed into the land yet, and it would be encouraging to know that God said it, because you're going to be challenged, and they were. What do you do when you're challenged? What do you do when that you stood upon begins to shake? You just hold up a "you said," but "you said." Amen? All of us can relate to these things in one way or the other. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. So Joshua said, every place shall be yours. And so Caleb comes along and says, I'm going to remind you. I admire Caleb and Joshua, particularly Caleb. He walked with these people for 40 years and never let the mess in them get in him. He heard belly aching, grumbling, complaining. He didn't hear anything positive that we know of. There's no record of the people being positive. It was always negative, dancing around a gold calf. And it was just always me. And Caleb never got involved in that stuff. You don't have to get involved in church gossip. You don't have to get involved. I love fellowship, and that's a wonderful thing, but if your fellowship is going to evolve into tearing people down, then you don't need fellowship. Whew. Help me, Jesus. So Caleb made a bold proclamation. I want it, and it's yours. The only thing is that there's a mountain. Give me this mountain. You got to get the mountain. There's no room in the body of Christ for laziness. Somebody said there's a worm for every bird, but the bird's got to go after the worm. You got to have initiative, amen? Now listen, Israel lost the possession of Canaan by not possessing it. They got expelled because they didn't. When you got saved, when you got delivered from sin, God gave you the capability to be a possessor of the promises of God. Jacob, in the book of Obadiah, Jacob shall possess his possessions. There's such a thing as having something and not having it. Not holding on to it, amen? Let's never forget that God gave these promises. It's bold language, but we must press toward the prize. Amen? I must take heed to what is rightfully mine. Psalm 103, bless the Lord at all times and forget not his benefits. I need to stop sometime and think about what are the benefits of God. For you, they may be, for all of us, they're general, but for you, they may be thus and thus and thus. But to know that you're saved, that's a benefit. Jacob, let's come back to our text now. Jacob is a picture of those who cross into the land of promise and they settle down. His goal was to be Bethel. The next chapter, God reminds him, get up and go to Bethel. We must face the reality that the devil will never quit trying to divert us, distract us. And Jacob in his journey, the devil wants to keep you from your full inheritance. My inheritance is peace. Guess what happens? Here comes the powers of darkness to try to disrupt my peace. Amen? It's not something I earn. It's not something I, just like any inheritance. You did not earn inheritance. It was given to you. I did not earn peace. I did not earn joy. I did not earn any of the fruit of the Spirit. I didn't strive for it. Fruit does not have to be struggled after. It naturally grows. Now, the thing about the devil, and I say it very sincerely, he wants to spoil that fruit. He wants to disrupt my peace, rob my joy, take away my contentment, take away my long-suffering, disrupt, no matter what. We have a person living on the block near where we live that's got a loud car. Real, real loud car. You don't need an alarm clock. Every morning, you can set your clock. You hear that thing cranking. Now, it's not just enough. We've not had any bitter weather. It's not just enough for it to run a couple of minutes, then back out and hit on, let everybody go back to sleep. He sits there for 5 and 10 minutes. Wooden, wooden. I mean, he gets with it. I take it in stride. It doesn't rob my peace because I'm already awake. It doesn't rob my joy. It doesn't rob, but the thing that I lay there, sit there on the sofa, getting ready to go do my walking when the sun comes up, the thing that I think about, that this is what bothered me. I know he's tearing the nerves of this whole neighborhood up. If you carried a petition around, I'm sure he wouldn't get good marks. Now, that doesn't disturb me, but there's some people it would probably disturb. I had somebody come to me one time, as if I could do something about it. Pastor, and they called the name of the person. They were just bold. You got to do something about this. This person sits in front of me and smacks chewing gum during the whole service. Now you got to do something. I said, I don't know about all that. Now it was disturbing the person that was behind the chewing gum chewer. But now I'm sitting up here and it didn't disturb me because, number one, I couldn't see it. What I'm trying to preach to you is that when your heart is filled with the contentment of God, something's going to happen to try to rob you. But my inheritance says I have it. My inheritance says it's mine. It's given to me. But the fruit of the Spirit, I don't have to fight for it. My God in heaven, I just accept it and receive it. And I receive it with the idea, with the reality, that it's going to be challenged. If I stand up and testify, which I should, you should. If I stand up and testify, God has been good to me. If I stand up and testify, God has helped me through the valley. God has helped me through the trial. If I stand up and testify, my heart is full and running over. I just love everybody. Hey, look out now. You waking the devil up. I just love everybody in the whole church. Da-da-da-da-da. Guess what's going to happen? Your words will be challenged. That's life. That's life. Am I right? Now, what does that challenge involve? It involves trying to rob you from what you testified. It involves trying to take you back down again. But we're not to do that. We're not to revert. We're not to slow down. If you testified on Sunday night that God supplied your need and you're trusting God to supply the further needs, then don't sweat it. Believe that God will do it. Amen. I think that we really need to deal with something here in our mind. We do not testify of the miraculous power of God near enough. For whatever reason, we don't do it. I mean, maybe it's my fault. I don't know. But we ought to be confidently and boldly declaring, I have no fear. I have no worry. I have no dread. Why? Because God is in me. I didn't say I did testify. I said that's the way I should. Am I right? That's the way you should. You should testify to the point that you stir the devil up. And then when he challenges you, show him who is in authority. If he finds out that he can disrupt you, you've got something on your hand. You've got something on your hand. You cannot let it bleed out that, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. The devil's... Don't do that. Even if it's been tormenting you, don't do that. Give no place to the devil. Just don't do it. At some point, it's going to change. Hello? At some point, it's going to turn around. That's your encouragement right there. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Oh, am I still? Satan will never give up in his attempt to keep you from your full inheritance. Paul said, I'm full. I have all things. I'm abounding. How many know he had some trouble? And incidentally, he was not some fire frothing. He was not a fire blazer, according to what you read in Acts, because he preached a man to sleep. Didn't he do it? And the man fell out the window. And Paul ran out and said, don't you sweat nothing. We're going to get this man back up. And I don't know whether the man went back home. I think that's probably where I would have gone. I wouldn't have taken the chance of going back to sleep. But what I'm trying to say, Paul was confident in the word of God. So the devil, from Brother Fred right on around this building, everyone, the devil will do everything possible to keep you from, God wants me to have a full inheritance. All things are mine, the scripture says. God wants me to have a full inheritance. I know it's cornfield preaching, but I'm trying to help you out. Amen. Hallelujah. Help this cord out too. If he can successfully stop you, trick you into being content and satisfied with a meager inheritance. Now hear me now. We're Pentecostal. We don't frown at non-Pentecostals. We don't cast stones. We love them. But we, by our faith, by our interpretation of the scripture, we're Pentecostal. Now, if you get saved, you're in the land of promise. Hello? Okay? If you get, you don't have to crawl in. You don't have to sneak in. If you get saved, once you get saved, you are in the land of promise. Now here's the problem, and it's rampant. We cross that line. We're in, we're saved, glory to God, hallelujah. And somehow some deceptive comes to our mind and says, just take a deep breath because you finally made it. Am I right? I mean, your struggle is over. Your declaration is done. You are in the land of promise. just relax and take it easy. And you just let out a deep breath and say, glory to God. And your battle is just started. Hello? What happens? We settle down at the fence. Amen? We get in the door. And once we get in the door, then glory to God, why should I pursue anymore? I'm saved. I'm safe. That's the mindset. I'm safe. You may be saved and you may be safe, but you're grieving God when you stop. You're grieving God when you stop. Let us pursue God. Let us go on. Hebrews is that, let us. Let us run with patience. You don't stop. You got in, salvation brought you into the land of promise, but my goodness, the land of promise is where you are now. And the promises of God are a sanctified lifestyle. The promises of God is a spirit-filled walk. Hello? And none of us, I don't care who we are, we should never be content, never be satisfied to settle down outside of the full scope of God's promises. I should never be satisfied. If I'm not spirit-filled, I should never be satisfied until that happens. And then you say, well, then you can rest. No, because you're going to have to be refilled. Seriously. I mean, you know, we ought to be filled every day. There's nothing wrong with saying something that strong. We ought to be filled every single solitary. I just got a feeling that those disciples were full of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, and it manifests through them. Amen? Hallelujah. So these people had crossed the Jordan River, and they got satisfied, and they were just content. Now, this, when I used to preach revivals around a lot of our churches, black congregations, they would testify that this is a pressing way. I knew what they meant. Anybody? You got to press your way through. Amen? And so I'm speaking to some here who have crossed into that land of promise. They're living there. You're not going out and sinning. You're happy with God, but you've grown tired of the conflict and you've settled down. Well, if God wants me to have the baptism, he'll give it to me. If God wants me to be healed, he'll give it to me. Let me tell you something right now. He provided the opportunity for healing in this Bible. He made absolute solid declarations. It is the will of God that you be healed. I can't see how we can argue that. You know, we use Jesus as the pattern. He never turned down a single solitary person. He never brushed them away. Are y'all with me? Amen. Now, Jacob had just experienced the most disturbing night of his life. He wrestled recently with this angel, and daylight was coming. So then he moves on to Shechem. He stops at Sukkoth for a little while, moves on, and he settles down. He's the believer that's in, but God said, go back to your roots, go back to your full possession. You can almost tell, I say this from experience, you can almost tell whether the seeker is going to be successful or not. I'm not saying it's got to be this way, but when a seeker comes to the altar with no emotion whatsoever, with no passion, with no consternation, most likely that seeker is going to leave the same way he come to the altar. There's got to be that sense that I prayed through something. There must be, I can't hit that nail hard enough. There must be that sense in our pursuit that, I finally broke through. Amen. You've heard me talk about Brother G.J. Chandler, Snow Branch camp meeting preacher several years ago. His preaching was just like a lot of us, it needed help.